Hey, welcome back to this episode of The Overcomers. I'm joined by some good friends and folk from the church, Marty Bryan and Eric Loper. And we're going to talk today about the integration of business and faith. I think one of the things I get, mainly because I've shared some stories and stuff, but I oftentimes get men and women either emailing in or kind of finding me in this space or that space and just going, I really want to live a life where my faith isn't just kind of what I do on Sunday mornings and then what I'm doing in my personal time. But as I build my business or as I lead my business, I want to lead into that business in a way that's faith forward and my faith is integrated into it. And then there's all the kind of difficulties of that for men and women in these days. Not all of them are CEOs, you know, not all of them are C-suite people. They're maybe high-level managers or vice presidents who have faith, and maybe they're working for a Fortune 500 company that has other values than their own and trying to navigate those spaces. And so when I was thinking about this subject, you were the two that I was like, no, these guys can help us. Even though your stories are different and two different, very different domains, I think technology and the restaurant business, although restaurant business has some technology, and I'm guessing the tech industry has some snacks. And so really that's kind of the flow of the conversation. Now let's just talk about how to lead into our business and build our business around our faith. So those two things aren't separate, but they're kind of coexisting together. And I think you'll have different takes just from the different domains you're in. But that's kind of the heart of our conversation today. So
love it.
Why don't we do this? Why don't you start with just like a 3-minute, this is who I am. This is what I do. This is how my business functions. And then we'll go from there.
Perfect. Super. You're looking at me. I'll start.
Yeah. You want to start? Go ahead, Marty.
I mean, I'm in the restaurant industry. I've been doing it for 34 years. I was at one company for 13 years, second company for 13 years, really just learning. And I find for most successful entrepreneurs, it's always advantageous to go and learn in an industry while you're being paid to learn.
Yeah, paid learning is better than unpaid learning.
Totally. And then taking that learning and then going and pursuing your own dreams. And that's what we did at Marty B's in 2017. We opened in 17. We put everything we had ever worked for our whole life into this business and had total faith that it was going to work. And we just felt like God's presence and his provision was over us throughout the process. We never doubted it. And fortunately, we opened and the customers showed up.
Yeah, they
very
did.
Excited. And then from 2017 to today, I've opened 9 restaurants total, and we're in a number of different offerings. We've got Steakhouse, 1845. We've got a wood-fired grill, Rustico. We've got coffee, ice cream. We've got a to-go catering business, Marty B's To-Go. We've got Marty B's, Brandon Bowls, Cactus Canyon. And then we opened up a second coffee shop in Grapevine.
So, all right.
So that's...
Getting it.
Working in the food business is amazing. 98% of the time.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And then sometimes it turns into work.
Yeah, you know? Sometimes. I love it. All right, Eric?
So I love this topic. If you put up with it, we could have the full 4-hour Joe Rogan interview. I could talk about this all day. I didn't tell you this, but Marty B's was a part of the recruitment vehicle to get us here to Texas. Actually, when we came out for our visit, it was like, this is what you're in store for if you move here. So I've been trying to figure this out probably since I was like 7, 8, like running a lemonade stand, and just saw the impact that business could have. So that's been a passion of mine. Grew up California, moved to Seattle, was working for one of those, you know, biggest companies in the world with their own moral point of view.
Yeah.
Did that for 18 years and really had this passion for how can I lean in deeper and how could we do more, and came up with this idea of wanting to start companies with the intent of giving their profits to ministries and to nonprofits. And so we started a consulting company. It's management consulting focused on helping tech companies accelerate through partnerships. And we've set up a second company that's focused on just building a portfolio that's going to give 100% of the profits away.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. So,
way to go.
And then when did you start that?
So we started both right in the middle of 2020. So right in the middle of the pandemic, everything's going on. And we're like, God feels this, like it's time to step out. We're like, really, God?
Now?
And, you know, it's you know, working for, you know, a big company like that, there's a lot to building up your sponsors that you have and, you know, your brand within the company becomes something you invest in. So pretty hard to take the leap, hard to do that during the pandemic. But God's been so, so faithful. It's been such a good faith building exercise to step out.
Yeah, I love that. How do you, I'll come back to you, Marty. How have you gone about kind of integrating your love for the Lord, his scripture, all that into the work? And I'm thinking in two layers. I think I know how you do that forward facing. I'd love for you to talk about that. But then even more internally, as you think employees and I mean, you employ a lot of people, a lot of young people. How have you integrated your faith both internally and externally when it comes to the restaurant business?
Yeah. Well, you know, we've lived in the community for 23 years. We've been attending the Village for 17 of those. Yeah. And, you know, so faith's always been a big part of our life. And so when we opened up the restaurant, you know, if you're a person of faith and you're an active person of faith, you know, hopefully your outward behavior becomes an inward reflection of your heart.
Yeah.
And so I felt like God's gifted me with the spirit of hospitality. And so when we started hiring people, we basically said we want to hire people that have heart and compassion. And from there, I don't really know that I thought a whole lot about it until probably a couple of years after I opened.
Okay.
That faith was going to be as big of a part of our business as it has become. And I think it was just opportunities that got presented to us. But people often ask, well, how do I start implementing faith into my business? And I would say, number one, I think you have to be very thoughtful about that, because if you've been running your business and it maybe doesn't reflect, you know, the way that God would have us run our business, I think you might consider getting some counsel on that.
Yeah.
There's an organization in Dallas called First Liberty, and they go and they defend religious freedom cases all across the country, have a very good relationship with them, and just, you know, get wise counsel on that. You know, for me, we did just little things. You know, from the very beginning, we played Christian music on Sundays. We've been very serious about that and do it every Sunday. A year after open, I put this big 10-foot cross on my stage. It's there. It's every day. It's present. It's part of our culture there. And then 3 years ago, we started doing the men's Bible breakfast, and that's grown organically. And then we all introduced the women's Bible breakfast, you know, this spring, and that's just been incredible. I mean, we've now have usually a couple hundred men at our men's Bible breakfast. You've spoke, thank you.
Yeah.
And then our women's Bible breakfast usually has 300 to 400. But I often tell our staff, you know, our faith is not in so much in what we say, it's in what we do. You know, we talk about preaching the Bible, but not in what we say.
Yeah.
You know, and so hospitality is really, you know, to me, a really defining point of our faith. And, you know, part of our whole foundation of our men's Bible study is being able to equip the men that attend there to be able to live out our faith in our daily life, not just check the box on Sunday, as you alluded to earlier, and being able to do that. And so Sunday, when I come to church, I'm celebrating all the things we've done throughout the week that demonstrated our faith and how we lived it out.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing, and wrapping up on this, is when we hire any new employee, you know, we're very upfront just saying, hey, I just want you to know, you know, we're a Christian, conservative-based organization. We're not perfect, but we do our best to operate our business with biblical principles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll learn pretty quickly if people want to be a part of that.
Opt in or out of that.
Part of that culture. And I always say one of the most loving things we can do is just be honest with our people and give them feedback. So that's kind of been the way we've done it. And we've been able to attract some really great people.
For sure.
As a result.
And then when did the worship night start? What year was that?
Oh, gosh. I was doing those before COVID.
Yeah. I was mm-hmm. going to say, I thought it was 2019,
yeah. somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
That was huge blessing, you know, to be able to be in Absolutely. A space to do those type of things and have the freedoms to do yeah. that.
It's good to be in Texas.
It's good to be in Texas.
You guys don't even know.
We do know.
It is so good to be here.
No, I know. I do know. It is so amazing. Personally, I do know. I spent some time on the West Coast and in the Northwest. But what about you, Eric? How would you answer? Like, how have you integrated? Your model's a little bit different. So it, yeah. but how, talk to us about.
So I think that sometimes we don't always recognize, you know, when you're employing people, what a big opportunity you have to have an impact. So we talk a lot about being purpose-driven. You know, we talk about this idea of when we put somebody at a client, you know, we're gonna install somebody who wants to make an impact in the lives of others. And so that's purpose-driven for our clients. We want to build lifelong relationships with them. We're really intentional with our team members. And so there's a lot that goes into that. We could talk more about that. And then we have the ventures model, which is, you know, it's allowed me to be more open in that space about, you know, hey, this part of the business is something where we're just going to really lean in. You know, we've chosen this area of human trafficking. Mm. And so that's the area that most people can agree that it's good for us to invest, you know, time and dollars. But I think this idea of being, you know, passionate about impacting people is what I would encourage people to. And that's, you know, coming from maybe a previous work environment where people are like, you know, you're a little over the top. Like, you wear like that cross, you put a little Bible verse on your desk. Like, what are you trying to say to me? This is too much for me. You know, and so I think, but all of us can lean in, because if you're, whether it's, you know, hey, you're just, you have a boss and yeah. you can impact your boss, or you have a leadership opportunity. You know, I think all of us can relate to, there's a huge opportunity to just, how do I show up with the people that are around me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just kind of everyday faithfulness is what you're getting at.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we kind of do a disservice. You know, we, a lot of times we want to look at business and we want to just, you know, assume that actually the ambition should be like, it should be about numbers and yeah. profits. I think we kind of sanitize it. I remember being in a meeting with, you know, an HR leader, not my organization, but prior to this, and they're asking about, well, what's going on? And I'm like, hey, you got one guy, he's on a special medication, and you got another person, his, you know, wife just went into rehab, and you've got this, you know, other person over here, and dad passed away. And they're like, you shouldn't know that.
Wow.
And they were legit concerned about the legal liability of knowing that was going on in the organization. You know, and I think actually that in the same way that, you know, you're looking at how can I set people free and align them to live what God's calling them to. You know, in a business, I want somebody to be excellent. And so it's the same thing of, you know, how do I help them work through their pride? Mm-hmm. Like, how do I help them work through, you know, this wound? How do I help them, you know? And so it's being in the trenches, and then those create the moments, right? Where you're praying for somebody every day as their, you know, mom goes through cancer.
Navigating it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I can get a sense at times from evangelical Christians that ambition, profit, success is almost viewed through a negative lens rather than a positive lens. And so I'd love to hear your own wrestle with ambition. I've oftentimes said to TBC, listen, I want you to end up running the company. I just don't want you to do it by sacrificing your soul or your family or your, but I want you to be ambitious for great things in the business world for the glory of the kingdom. A lot because the higher you up, you're in those C-suites, you have a lot more opportunity to do the kind of things you were just mentioning. Talk a little bit about kind of the marrying of ambition and the kingdom. There's this great John Stott quote that I've always loved about ambition, where he talks about wherever Christ's name isn't magnified at, you know, at the highest level, we should be ambitious for every place and space to know him and see him. And I I can lay that across the business world pretty easily and go, yeah, at every level and every space we want to. So like you don't get to 9 restaurants without ambition. 1 can kill a guy. So you get to 9. I mean, you've been ambitious. You've got a brand, mm-hmm. you've been trying to build it, and your brand's your name.
Mm, yeah.
And that's
terrible idea.
Yeah. Maybe it was, but I told my daughter, if you're listening or watching this, Audrey, my oldest, worked for Marty at Marty B's once. And she came home. He's like, he is intense. And I just said, his name's on the building. Right. Like if it's a terrible experience, someone is saying his name, like Marty's is terrible. That's his name. They're saying his name. So I bet he is intense. Anyway. Talk a little bit
it's the branded logos that yeah. you actually, when you burn into them, when they become a new employee, yeah. that's the part
Audrey
that's
has one. It was weird. Audrey has one at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
So talk a little bit about it. Is my question making
sense? Yeah, totally.
You're in this for the kingdom. That's the big banner, mm-hmm. but you're also both your ambitious men, mm-hmm. or you wouldn't have taken the risk. You wouldn't have taken the step of faith. You wouldn't have started 9. You wouldn't have leveraged everything to kick off Marty B's and then got to 9 restaurants. So talk a little bit about the marrying of those two, if you would.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, I mean, as long as your ambition is aligned, right? Like, I feel like we have purposeful ambition in what we do. And it's interesting when we had our weekly staff meeting, not staff meeting, our manager meeting today at Marty B's, and we don't really talk about financials. What we talk about, the two things that drive our business is how do we make the experience amazing for our team, amazing for our customers. And then certainly we want to have a healthy business, because having a healthy business allows us to open more restaurants and be able to be generous back to the community. And so for us, my purpose and my ambition and my drive comes from creating other opportunities for my team. Because here's what I've learned. If you have great people in your team, you're not creating opportunities for them, they're going to leave and they're going to go work for the competition. And so I've just said, well, let the competition be me. Like on 407, the greatest competition I have is my restaurants. You know, we've got 7 restaurants on 407.
It's a big problem to have. Like, how do I beat myself?
Which is the intentionality behind uniqueness in each of the brands.
Yeah.
Right. So, I think it's just got to be about the customer experience, the employee experience, and then being able to serve the community. We really defined our brand by, I always say, we want people to come into Marty B's, connect with their friends and family, and celebrate life.
Yeah.
And so our whole purpose behind each brand we build is with that in mind, creating a place for people to come together, celebrate life, connect with friends and family. That's what drives us, really.
Love it. Eric?
You know, I think that this, I forgot what I was going to say.
Happened to me all the time.
You're asking about ambition. So I think this one comes down to worship.
Yeah.
Like, can you, the best things I've ever achieved have been when I've been in that place where like my work was worship, and then all the other things start to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Right? Like my pride starts to get out of the way. My fear starts to get out of the way, and it lets you be in that position of being all in. And so we've done some things that have been, you know, really aggressive. Like you could argue, you know, that we should be like 10 times the size. Like we were like, hey, let's do a CEO summit. You know, let's bring, you know, 55 leaders together, you know, from across the world, and, you know, bring them all. And, you know, you could look at those things and be like, gosh, like what's there? But I think that we sometimes forget, if you're the centerpiece of the organization, like everything in you that's aligning with God's precepts and, you know, aligning with holiness, you know, that's going to go and build virtue in your business, mm-hmm. and everything else that's in you, that's going to plant all kinds of other seeds. And so I think those are the things that alienate people over time. And it's easy to let that stuff creep in because you're tired and you're busting it and things are around you. You know, you have clients maybe that aren't operating with integrity, or you've got peers if you're in a bigger organization. And so I think it's just easy in that moment to forget, what am I really here? What am I really doing this for? And when you can stay anchored on that, that tends to align, and people tend to be like, oh, great, that's awesome. Like, you're going after it. You want to be excellent. And when you let it slip, it becomes, oh, you're trying to build your career.
Yeah.
Right. It's about you. It's about your brand. You're making selfless. And a lot of times that can be true, right? Yeah. Like those, it can be about you and your brand and your selfish decisions.
Yeah. I can't imagine how it wouldn't creep in. It creeps in everywhere in every domain. So all the more if it's your baby and you leveraged the house to do it and you took the step of faith when it didn't make sense to do it. And then over time, these people have joined, but they didn't leverage their house. They didn't take the step of faith. They didn't. So I could imagine the pull of that frequently on you. Most Christians I know, they have this deep longing to understand the Bible more deeply and in ways that move their souls, like to greater worship and gladness. In fact, I feel like I'm in those conversations all the time when it comes to the Bible, like men and women who love God, they go to church. Most of them even start the day by reading their Bible, and yet they still have this hunger to know God's word more deeply in its context and meaning and in a way that really is transforming their lives. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Kava. It comes from the Hebrew word Kava, which means to wait on or to hope in the Lord. Kava is a Christian streaming platform that really was built to help you understand the Bible and live out your faith with confidence. Think of it as digital discipleship in your pocket. It has Bible studies, documentaries, and there are these conversations led by trusted teachers that help scripture finally come alive in your everyday life. And another reason why this is one of those I really love is that Kava is a nonprofit subscriber-funded ministry, which means when you subscribe, you're not just getting the benefit, but you're partnering with them in creating biblical content that helps people all over the world go deeper in their faith. So this is one of those, like Kava gives you the opportunity to grow with thousands of others who are finding greater confidence in God's word. So you can visit kava.tv/theovercomer. That's kava.tv/theovercomers. And use code OVERCOMER50 for 50% off your first 6 months. Again, that's kava.tv/theovercomers, code OVERCOMER50.
I feel that too, right?
Yeah.
The people that are on my team now, her...
Good life now.
They're kind of riding the coattails. Yeah. I don't know how to say it any different, but, you know, so for me, I struggle sometimes with, you know, humility.
Yeah.
And, you know, and, but, you know, when you're driving and you're focused on growing the brand and expanding your business, you know, you have probably in your case, you have a lot of people always saying, great message, Matt. That was awesome. Great job. Great. You know, and so in same for us. We have people telling us how great we are, and that can be a very slippery slope. And my point is that, well, number one, if we don't hear that, then we're not doing something right. But we can never let that drive our ego to the point that we don't have enough humility to be able to serve our team and serve our customers.
Yeah.
So, you know, I found that when you become arrogant, you become disconnected. So ultimately, I want to try to stay in a
For sure.
humble place.
Yeah.
Trevor helps me with that sometimes.
Well, Trevor feels like that's his call on most people in his life. So like, let me help him with some humility. Thanks, Trev. So as you're trying to, you know, build business, create these spaces, what challenges are kind of unique to, like, I think about you've been very bold, very outspoken, very public facing. We are not, you know, I think people who maybe are from other parts of the country be like, you guys are in Texas, everybody's a Christian, but it's just not true in Denton County. It might feel that way, but it certainly is not. And so have you had to navigate, how have you maybe tried to navigate hostility or even accusation of favoritism or firing because, or not hiring because, or whatever, when it comes to how your faith is informing your businesses?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have been very bold. We continue to be very bold. And I've had some, you know, some negativity. In fact, we even had a person a call and spend 20 minutes with my general manager yesterday because an event we hosted on Sunday, and it was a get out the vote event, and it was a conservative group that had, you know, signs there that maybe wasn't their candidate. But here's what I've learned, and that is that, you know, just because I'm in business, that doesn't mean I get to deny my moral values and, you know, my Christian faith. In fact, I want it to be more glorified in my business. And God created me the way that I did, and I have the opportunities because of Him. And so in the beginning, in fact, it was actually Trevor that gave me this advice, because we had an event that got a ton of just, I mean, emails, phone calls, text messages, people coming up to the restaurant to approach me. And it was pretty scary. I'm not going to lie. And I ended up having a meeting with one of the gentlemen that was very angry. And here's what I learned is that, number one, whatever you feed grows. Whatever you listen to also grows. And so I just learned that, you know, I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to operate with a good moral compass and just do the best I can. And I can't let the negativity of the people who don't appreciate what we do compromise how I operate my business. And I've said from the beginning, I'm not in business to serve 100% of the people. That's not my desire. My desire is to be able to create an experience for folks that truly appreciate the efforts that we make to serve them. And so a lot of businesses will oftentimes, you know, try to be everything to everyone. And that's not a very good business model, in my opinion.
I think Jesus said something about that. If all men praise you or something like that. I read it somewhere. Maybe it wasn't him. So, Eric, anything on that?
You know, I feel like sometimes we got it right. And then sometimes, you know, we just stuck our foot in our mouth. When we were starting out early, it was actually our intent with the consulting company was never to only hire Christians, but that was actually the core team that we had. And so we had this sort of prayer Mondays where, like, we would kick off every Monday. I still kick off every Monday with my COO, and we pray over the business and the, and the team, but not the entire group. And, you know, we hired a couple new employees, and they're kind of like looking at me sideways, and I'm like, oh man, all right, we probably didn't like onboard you so good. You're like, what cult did I just join? So I think there's some things that we haven't gotten right. You know, for sure, it's a challenge. Like, you want to find that balance. You don't want to alienate people from the things that you're trying to go do. We've anchored a lot in trying to be a values driven company and have the values be focused on the virtues that we're trying to live out. And that's allowed us to, you know, put an employee in a position where you're like, hey, you should always be able to think through, you know, how you're leading, how you're learning, how you're being excellent, and how you're being selfless. And that should help you to get through, you know, whatever decision. So we try to anchor on some of that so that you can hold someone accountable to the things that you're trying to align, but you can do it in a very, you know, quantified, not subjective. You know, hey, if we're going to move forward, you should be able to look. If you're not excellent, despite the fact that, you know, I love you and you've done a lot of great things, you know, then, you know, we're not going to move forward with whatever we're doing.
I love it. I wonder if you could, the reality is 90% of the people that are listening to this probably aren't sitting in the chair that you guys are sitting in in their workplace where they're, you know, they're doing business right now. I'm wondering if you go back a few years, which might feel like forever, and remember, you know, your 13 years, remember your time, you know, in the Pacific Northwest and in California where it's not your company. It's not, you're not the one going, here are our values. You're not the one going, you know, we're not trying to serve everybody, but you're actually being handed those things. How do you live out your faith in that environment where, like, I know where you were, I don't think it was hostile towards Christianity, but not necessarily a Christian organization. Yours was probably hostile towards. And so how do you maybe say a little bit about how to, if it's not your business, but it's where you work, and say a little bit about, okay, how do we integrate our faith into this in a way that's not going to get me fired? And then, we've got a guy that I know well was very successful, and they tried to give him a client that he just morally could not. So there is a time to get fired over something. Mm-hmm. But you only get fired over everything. And so can you guys talk a little bit about working in secular spaces, whether hostile or just, it's not directly a Christian organization, but finding ways to be faithful in those spaces. I think that might be helpful to people listening.
It's not easy. Yeah. I mean, I think you can end up in these positions sometimes. We'll talk about this, I think, in a minute, but, you know, where you get put in the double bind.
Yeah.
You know, where it's the, hey, you either need to do this thing to your employee or I'm going to do this thing to you, and you choose.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I always found that, like, one, you know, it takes an incredible sense of, you know, integrity.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot in wanting to do your best work, and, you know, there's a boldness that can come with that. I think that's rewarded over time. But it can be costly, you know, as well as you lean in. And so I think that if you kind of equate to, okay, if I know I'm going to be in some of those really, really hard or what feel like impossible situations, you know, then that's where you have to be rooted. Like,
yeah,
you have to be grounded in, you know, God, what is it that you have for me, you know, today, right? The 10-minute prayer that I tried to fit in after my workout at my desk, like, that might not be sufficient. Like,
yeah,
it might take an hour for me to get to the point where I can actually be grounded enough to handle, you know, what's in front of me for the day.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I think that's a great question. I don't know that I have the perfect answer, but, you know, I think you have to have a level of maturity in your faith to be able to encounter, you know, those type of issues if you're in a business. And honestly, a lot of it ebbs and flows with culture,
yeah,
right? It can even ebb and flow with who's in the White House, right?
Yeah.
I mean, based on all the things that are coming down. And so I think the thing I would suggest on something like that, when I was in a executive leadership position in my previous company, I would pray with my managers.
Yeah.
I didn't tell anybody I was doing. I just would do it. If they were going through a hard time and I felt like they needed prayer, I would just pray with them.
Yeah.
And it wasn't always, sometimes it would backfire on me.
Yeah.
You know, oh, well, you're supposed to be a Christian, you know, and so, yeah, you know, you risk that. But I just said this the other day, but, you know, if you've really got a deep commitment to your faith and what's happening in your workplace, just really is really starting to kind of tug on your,
yeah,
on your heart. You know, there's a lot of great organizations out there that have really good culture and they have their heart in the right,
yeah,
place. And, you know, sometimes God makes us feel that way because he's saying, hey, you probably should, or she should probably find something else.
Yeah.
And in the world we live in today, you can pretty much, if you want to work, you can make money doing anything.
Yeah.
Right. Not everybody's meant to be an entrepreneur. You know, there's a lot of people that make great,
yeah,
employees and add value in a lot of other ways. But I always felt like when I was having those challenges, I would seek wise counsel, someone that's farther down life's road than me.
Yeah.
Help me kind of navigate that.
Yeah. These are the two that I try to talk about quite a bit. One, for the most part, I'm not laying this across everyone's experience as universally true, but for the most part, offering to pray with people and for people is usually a pretty safe bet. I learned a long time ago, I rarely want to ask the question, how you doing, man? But I will try to pick up on and then make a more kind of, hey, you look a little run down today. Are you tired? Is everything okay? Mm-hmm. And then I have found by approaching it that way, or you look upset, or you seem easily like, is everything okay? You just responded there in a way that it seemed like you were spring loaded, by kind of approaching it that way, especially when I'm around a bunch of non-believers that people have been quick to let me in on exactly what's bothering them, which has then given me the opportunity to say, man, I would love to, man, that sounds awful. I'm so sorry. I would, mm-hmm, love to pray for you about that. Are you okay if I pray with you? And we can do it now, or I can just pray by myself. And the majority of time, if they're unbelievers, they just want me to go pray for them by myself. But that's been it. And then I just think, like, because I'll get asked questions by nature of my position that they shouldn't be asking me. And what I mean by that is I have no idea about the details or culture of the environment you're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't want to get you fired if you don't want to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, there's a guy, you both know this guy, who basically is very successful and his company tries to hand him Pornhub as a client. And he's like,
well,
no. And they're like, no, you're our guy for this. We want you. And he's like, no, I won't do it. And so for him, there was this clear, like, no, I will get fired over this. This to me is you're going to fire me because I'm not going to do it. But, like if you ask me that, then I'll help you get fired. But you to have a group of people, that you're in close community with that kind of know a bit about where you're working and what it's like. And because I do believe God will have you stay at a hard place for a long time, to be salt and light in that place. And then the shrewdness of how you approach that or how you go about that, I think matters. And so to talk to someone who's either been in the game longer or another Christian at the company that's kind of doing it in subversive ways, all that's super important. And so those are the two areas I tend to, like, usually offering to pray for people is not going to get you in a ton of trouble. Maybe, but usually not.
I did not get fired for that.
Yeah.
So
on campus,
in the little focus rooms,
belly of the beast.
I thought there were some moments where I'm like, okay, well, we'll see. this might be what I get fired over.
So I was just out in Palo Alto. I was on the book tour and we were basically in Fremont, but you know, it's just right across the bridge from Palo Alto. And a woman at our church, she works for a company based out of there. And she wanted to invite her coworkers to the church service the night before and then the book event.
Yeah.
And then she was just not, like, literally wasn't sure if she would get fired for that or not. And so she came to me and she's like, should I post it? I was like, why would you post it if you're going to get fired for posting it? Like, the Lord's placed you in this company to be salt and light in the ways that he wants. So unless you're telling me convictionally, you feel like the Spirit's telling you to do this, I'm saying on a wisdom level, I think it's not a good use of your spiritual capital there at this company. And it occurred to me, oh man, I don't know anything about that environment where just inviting somebody to a church function could get you fired because this is a well-known conservative church in that area, which to that area means they hate gay people and they, you know, are racist.
Yeah.
Well, and that, I think, unfortunately, like that's the challenge, right? Yeah. Is that people feel condemned. But I think where you went is right, which is you can go pretty far if people feel like it's authentic care.
Yeah.
Like that's the, like, if what's the number one thing that's going to be the lever is, like, how authentic are you in actually caring about that person? And that's what's going to create those opportunities where they're going to enter in, where they're not going to feel offended.
Yep.
You know, we had all kinds of friends with all kinds of different views, and they sat in our living room and, you know, we had conversations, and, you know, the reason that those relationships endured was, like, that was what they were, you know, that was what they were feeling approached with versus condemnation. So I think it's the same thing, by the way, with, like, my consulting clients. Like, they'll let me push them harder if they think I'm caring about them. So sometimes I think we kind of forget how simple of a principle. It's like, it's not that hard to take a step, to lean in, to be intentional with somebody. And all we have to start with is, you know, really wanting to see good things for them.
Yeah. And being curious about their lives. And I've just learned in the spaces I'm in that are predominantly non-believing spaces, just like the men that I've been able to baptize over the years, or, you know, begin to disciple over the years, it all started with a curiosity in me about what the Lord put in there. Who are they? Where are they coming from? What does life look for them? And that has allowed me to say some harsh but loving things to men who aren't yet Christians, who just knew because of time spent and moving towards, I genuinely cared about them, and I'm not trying to be a butthole.
Yeah.
Right. And we make evangelism into this like big, giant, scary thing of like, can I, and it, cause it feels like that in one of those environments where you're like, I don't want to get, you know, that's a fireable offense. Yeah. And really, you know, it's just, do I care a little bit enough to ask somebody to go get beers after work?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is. It's wild that it's that simple. It's wild that it's that simple. Let's talk a little bit about kind of alignment. The idea, whether we're talking business or church, we have a tendency to drift from kind of the vision God gave us in the beginning. I mean, you just see this even with the, you know, God's people throughout the scriptures. They just can't seem to remember what the Lord did, how he did it, how he brought it about. What are ways that you guys, if we're talking about Marty's 9 restaurants now, I have to believe that running one restaurant is a lot different than running 9, and maintaining culture in one restaurant is a lot more, you know, is a lot easier than doing it across 9. What are ways that you watch and pay attention to, hey, are we still aligned around the things we said we were going to align around in the first? And if you can remember a time or sense a time where you just could see it drifting a little bit and caught it, and that might be helpful.
I think it's Peter Drucker who said, culture eats strategy for breakfast. Yep. And you know, if you don't have good culture, you really don't have a good organization. And I've often said that, you know, the three things that I feel like gives Marty B's the energy that it does, it's selection, it's who we hire, it's truth, and it's accountability. And so I've often said, if you've got a culture problem, you have a truth and accountability problem. And if you have truth but no accountability, then you really, there's no magic there either.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think for me, I mean, nowadays you have so much feedback. You've got social media. You get feedback on your business continually.
Love feedback.
Not only from your team, from the public. Mm-hmm. You know, I just happen to be in a business that's very public.
Yeah.
You know, people are driving by our restaurants all the time. They see the traffic there, and all the businesses, you know, they see us on social media. I mean, we're very public, right? And that can be good and bad. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like when I walk into my business, I can detect the heartbeat of the organization pretty quickly.
Okay.
Just in kind of detecting the morale and the attitude of the team, our managers, you know, so each night they write in this log, and it kind of recaps. Every manager writes a recap of the shift, and I can learn so much just by reading that. And then, you know, having weekly meetings and being able to have open dialogue with the team. Like today, we finished the meeting earlier, and Matt, who's my general manager at Marty B's, you know, Matt said, is there anything anybody wants to talk about? Anything somebody wants to comment on? You know, and I think it's good to ask those questions, right? And I think you, like Eric said, you got to be genuine about it. You know, you got to feel like they have to feel like you really are genuinely listening.
Hearing,
You know, and so people go, how do you go and spend your day in your restaurants? I go, well, I don't ever want to go into any of my restaurants where I'm not available to connect with the team, right? Everyone communicates, few connect, right? So being able to connect and just kind of detect the heartbeat of that individual businesses is critical.
Yeah.
But then, you know, having people on our team that can carry out the vision, you know, that speak the same language, respond the same way, honoring our team, honoring our customers, probably is very critical.
Yeah.
You know, but one thing about me is that I get to be in all my businesses.
Yeah.
Well, if I've had a business in LA or New York, it's really hard to manage culture.
Yeah, it is.
When you're 5-hour plane ride away, I can more easily detect culture when I'm in the businesses. Yep. I see it, I feel it, I touch it.
Yep.
I see the people
down the 407
corridor.
I see
the customers. Yeah.
How long till you think they rename that? Like, is that going to be Marty's Boulevard?
Buddy, I think after 7 years, the town actually starting to like me and pull for me. So I'm not pressing my luck on naming. Yeah.
Give them time. They'll come around. Just hating you while they're stuffing their face with your food. That's funny to me. What about you? Would you like alignment? How do you make sure we're not drifting away from really that kind of thing that the Lord first put in your heart and head?
Well, I think, you know, I had a manager early on that you know, he was trying to describe why he liked being a manager.
Yeah.
And he kept talking about, like, I like to create these spaces. You can almost picture like a little bubble, mm-hmm. you know, where in his case, he's working in a giant company and he's like, hey, the giant company is chaotic, but this is an amazing place. And again, I think, you know, sometimes we as leaders, we don't think about the fact that like most people don't leave companies. Most people leave managers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so there's this, you know, fantastic opportunity, like culture. I don't just look at culture and say like culture is important. Like culture is what is going to make an impact on those people's lives. Yeah. Like an amazing place to work with an amazing manager. Like how many people today are like praying for that? Like that's what they want. And so in our business, we're transforming companies on these kind of 1 to 3 year engagements. And so there's a lot of friction when you're trying to change a company. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's some dark days that come mm-hmm. in. So one thing we started doing was we actually started surveying and assessing every employee on our values every month. And so we're having
monthly,
we're having that dialogue. How are you living out the values? What does that look like? What are the areas? This is what I saw. Awesome. This is what aligned. This is what didn't align. Then we do a company survey that's more about like how is leadership, you know, living out the values. And so that's just been helpful. Again, you know, we're not, we can't be in the place like my company. I can't just tell everybody, hey, you're going to be a Christian. But we're going to align on these values that are aligning with the virtues that we're trying to do. And then you have to be thoughtful about things like, you know, the hard leadership things like, okay, I'm going to sit down with the client, you know, after every engagement, what can I learn? What you can get better? And man, the amount of things I've learned, you know, from, you know, kind of other, like our client CEOs, super helpful. But the last thing I'll say, and I think this is one that we kind of forget, like when we go into the workplace, like we take Christ with us.
Yeah.
And I was reading a book, I think it was The Authority of Believer, but it was just talking about like the power of prayer that you take with you.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm going to try this out. Like I've got some stuff going on in my organization. I've got, you know, a client that's doing weird things. And, you know, I've got, you know, maybe an employee that's just, you know, spinning. Like I'm just going to actually, you know, walk in. I'm going to declare some things. I just blown away. I got to the end of my week and I was like, the environment, the atmosphere feels different, you know, in that little, in that little bubble. So, it, you know, and then the practical thing is like, when you get that right, like that environment just fosters itself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I was working in that big company and I would hire my next hire within an hour of my last hire.
Yeah.
Leaving. And it was the easiest time I had there. And it wasn't me that made it easy. It was actually the culture was so strong that
they wanted, you know, to come work there.
The good people wanted to work there. The bad people didn't want to be in the culture. And so, I mean, there's just these practical benefits of doing these things that God has called us to. And, you know, the reality is like, there's a bunch of wisdom in that book. And when you live it out, like, it does actually make your steps easier.
Yeah.
Matt, I was going to comment on one thing. You talked about running one versus running more than one. And I think that's in most entrepreneurs and most businesses, what they did to make one business successful requires a lot different skill than to make multiple businesses successful. So I think you have to do a little internal audit. You know, what are the things I'm really gifted at? There's a lot of things I'm not great at.
Yeah.
A lot more than things I'm good at, but I at least know that about myself. And so if I'm being critical of, you know, my weaknesses, I'm not like an amazing administrator.
Yeah.
But I've had people join my team that are really good at keeping us organized, keeping us profitable, you know, maintaining good systems, and that my giftedness is food, environment, and culture.
Yeah.
I love creating the brand. I love creating the space. I love creating the food. That's what really drives me.
Yeah.
So having people on team that allow me to focus on things only I should be doing has been a gift for my business and for my team.
Yeah. And it's, I think you've got this is probably an important aspect to, I mean, I know you a lot better than I know you, Eric, but like you just know who you are and know like, this is what you put me anywhere and this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I have not experienced you as having the pride of going, so I have to be seen as more than that. Mm-hmm. It's I've always experienced you as Marty.
Yeah.
And so I mean, you just hang out with you in any environment. This guy loves hospitality, loves good food. He loves beauty. He loves a good time. And I think people feel that when they're around mm-hmm. you. I think where I think business guys can get themselves in trouble is where pastors can get themselves in trouble too, which is I've got to be all of it. And I've got to be strong enough to be all of it. And then you're doing a lot of little things really poorly that are leading to all sorts of pain points now in the organization, whether that organization is a business or a church or even a family system at your house, in your home. And so like a knowledge of self, maybe especially in business, but I think really across the panorama of life is super important, where guys will try to be more than human. And instead of playing in their strengths and finding people who their weakness is their strength. I learned this forever ago. Like you put me in an all day meeting that's detail oriented and spreadsheets. That is going to suck the life out of me, but
too.
There are people
I love it.
That is their sermon prep for me where I want to be up here. I want to be logos open. I want worship blasting, wrestling with the Greek and asking the Spirit to show me. And man, I do that. That's my day. But there are people that to them would just be like, oh, I'd die. I wouldn't know what to do 5 minutes in. And that's how I feel. And so I just learned early on, I'm going to let those guys just have it. I'm just going to give them all the authority in the world to just take that and run. And I'm going to come over here and do this. And I'm just going to have a dashboard of metrics so I know what's going on, but trust them to do it. So,
well, and what a great way to celebrate the ways that God has gifted them, right? To lean in, recognize their strengths, you know, celebrate that as a part of the culture.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So we keep talking about culture, but we just keep saying the word culture. So let's talk about how you develop culture in a place where kind of the, like if you're thinking building culture, how do you, like both of you ground zero, how do you build a culture into a place?
Yeah, I always say culture broken down to its simplest form is how you make people feel, right? It's how you make your customers feel, how you make your employees feel. And I've always found the best way to create culture is you got to demonstrate it. People don't know what does the right culture look like? What does it feel like, right?
Yeah.
And I think it just goes, you know, Eric and I are still on the same page with this. It's, you know, the genuineness again, and my, you know, people never remember what you say, but they always remember how you made them feel.
Yeah.
And so I feel that that's critical. But I think culture's important thing that defines culture is who you hire.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take very long if you hire a wrong person. You know, you ever notice that if you make a bad assist, it's hard to get rid of?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that's why we're so diligent on the front side of it, doing a personality profile, letting them know who we are.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, certainly we want our team to look respectful.
Yeah.
So personal grooming is important to us.
Yeah.
And we communicate all that up front. And I think the reason personal grooming is important is because I've said Marty B's is in any of our restaurants is not the place to make a fashion statement.
Yeah.
Because when you start to make it about you, then you can't be serving someone else if you're focused on yourself.
Yeah.
And so we created our 10 commandments to amazing that we follow at all of our restaurants. And the first one is hospitality.
Yeah.
The second is personal grooming.
I love that.
We've got all these things that we talk about. And so our team now, because of our culture, you know, they help us identify people that they know shouldn't be on the team.
Yeah.
Right. And I love that when they're bringing it to us and saying, hey, this person's not going to make it.
Yeah.
Thanks for telling us. Great.
Yeah.
And why would we keep them? We're robbing that person of the opportunity to go be successful in their area of giftedness.
Yeah.
It's obviously not the restaurant business. There's a lot of things you don't want me doing.
Yeah.
You
Listen,
know?
Not everybody's supposed to be a server.
That's right.
It's just the truth. So anyway, Eric, anything you would add there? Building culture.
Well, I love what Marty said. Like there's an aspect initially about like having clarity. I actually think culture is worth taking the time to think through. So, you know, you did that with the 10 commandments. We actually did it with you know, writing out our values in a kind of really deep four pager way that was really simple, but was really clear. And then, you know, I think this, you know, because we have an opportunity as men, we build, anybody in business, we build culture, you know, around us in all settings, yeah. Right? In our family, with our friends. And so I think initially it starts with those little decisions. You know, it's like the smaller things, each thing, how do you handle, you know, the employee that's not right? Like, what does that, you know, conversation, you know, look like? How do you treat them with care? How do you treat, so pick your 20 hardest things. Those things all matter. I think they matter in the kingdom, like in how you show up, you know, how did you bring Christ into those 20 things? And they matter because those are the things that are going to spawn, you know, culture for your employees. And then each new employee is an installment in that. And so they need to have a clear understanding of that, you know, expectation, what you're trying to build. Sometimes I'll tell an employee like, hey, you're a cultural installment.
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean? Well, today we're a 6 on this, if you want to give it a number, and I want to be a 7, right? So I expect you to be able to lean in and try and dial in, you know, in this specific area. You know, we want to get better in this space.
Yeah. So both of you are hinting at something that's a high value for us, which is we're going to tell you the truth. And we've got no way forward if I can't tell you the truth. And so we wanted our culture to be one where I'm never going to try to give you, you know, the proverbial crap sandwich where I'm mm-hmm. like, you're so amazing, so gifted. There's this issue that we'd love for you to work on, but remember,
yeah.
You're incredible.
Yeah.
Because then what I've learned is that people will eat the bread and they won't hear the middle. So we've always just been real forthright of going, nobody gets paid to love Jesus here. Loving Jesus is permission to play. Like if you're working at the Village, there's a job we're doing that requires competency. And if you're not able to do the job, I don't want you wondering about that. We want to coach and correct and come alongside and help you. So I don't want it where we've had to remove people. I never want that person to be like, I never saw that coming.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what right. do you mean? Yeah. And so by having a culture of truth, we're able to go, hey, you're at a 6. We need you to be at 7. So we need you to lean into that. That in and of itself is a culture where people can flourish because they're not wondering or thinking they're killing it. And they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found even in what we've tried to build at TVC, like we're going to tell the truth. We're going to say the not said thing and not ask you to read between the lines and be as clear as we can.
It's so selfish to give somebody the sandwich or to not share, like to not enter into the hard discussions. Like there's no chance for them to get better because you want to go home comfortable in that?
Yeah. No, what you're actually sowing something in your culture by not doing that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like exactly. That you're sowing something that's going to blow up when it gets to mass.
Right.
You know, you're talking one or two people and then everybody's talking about them, but not talking to them.
Exactly.
And then that grows. And then you've got 4 or 5 people in the org now that, you know, are, they're 6s when you need them to be 7s, and nobody's let them know, hey, you're at a 6, we need you at a 7. And so everybody's behind talking about how they're a bunch of 6s and
right.
because that means all your 7s are now having to run at 8.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got all the chaos that comes in,
right.
You know, unhealthy cultures.
And then if you think about like, where's the chance to bring the gospel into work? There's something that's challenging that person.
Yeah.
That's at a 6 from getting to a 7.
Yeah.
And when you spend time with them, it's usually, sometimes it's just a skill thing, but usually it's about their entire self that's coming in there. And there's usually an opportunity in that.
For sure.
And I always say, I never want to make someone feel good for screwing up.
Yeah.
I mean, right? People make decisions based on seek pleasure, avoid pain. And sometimes we need pain in our life to help us figure out the next thing, right?
No greater teacher.
I've been a friend of pain a lot in my life, and I've learned how to work through it, but I've also learned God uses that to mature me, equip me, and teach me something.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I owe it to our team to speak the truth.
Yeah.
And man, I would say that I don't know the percentage, but I bet 70 or 80% of the companies out there don't speak the truth in their team. Otherwise, you wouldn't have this cultural craziness happening within the organizations. Yeah. Who's running the company? The people, the inmates are running the asylum.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and so I believe it.
They're failing not to seek the truth, speak the truth. They're not holding people accountable. And, you know, this is not popular, but I'm going to say it. I don't have an HR department at Marty B's, and there's a reason we don't. And a lot of it's because of who we hire. If we hire the right people, HR isn't there because you hire all the great people.
It's true.
Right? They're there because some sneak through the cracks, and then those people end up creating policy for how the organization then becomes ran.
Yeah.
And then you rob the really great people of the ability to be able to feel the zeal and the energy to help be who they need to be to better the organization. And then all of a sudden they pull back because all these policies get implemented that compromise culture.
Yeah.
Right. And in the last 6 months, I've hired two people that were a product of bad culture that was created by the HR department. Yeah. There's a lot of value in what HRs do. And I'm not criticizing specifically. I'm just saying for us, it can have a very harmful effect on culture. And what's really challenging is that person that's your HR person, you have to be very open to them and share with them all the things that are in your head that maybe you don't want everybody to know, but they can take it and maybe spin it in a way that isn't the way you intended it to be.
Yeah, I think there's, if you're not careful, HR will squash ingenuity. Mm-hmm. They'll give you the playbook rather than give you the creative opportunity to solve a problem in a way that might be better for the org. So I've seen some of that.
I've been a part of it.
I love it. I just know because I've done this for a while now, like right now somebody's on a treadmill or they're in their car or I don't know, watching this in their office at home or all the places that people listen to podcasts and as they've dialed in, and my guess is they picked this one because they either are entrepreneurs or they want to be more serious about living out their faith in the environment that God's placed them in this season of life and work. What would you say to just encourage them as they, and I know that's two very different people, an entrepreneur and a guy that's just wanting to be more faithful at work. So if you want to pick one of those, you can, but how would you encourage them on the integration of faith and that 40 to 70 hours a week we're spending in these careers or jobs that we're in?
Yeah, good question. Well, you know, humans are messy.
Yeah, we are.
I mean, and so it's not easy, and that's not an easy question to ask, but I always find I have a lot of revelations if you just pray a lot about where God's intending you to pursue your life and how's he going to use you? And, you know, luckily for me, I was able to identify my giftedness early on in life. You know, some people can be 40 or 50 years old today and not even know what that is.
Yeah.
You know, and there's some really good tools out there for you to help identify, you know, like, what am I great at? Like, what is my personality? Yeah. Why am I in a job that is totally opposite of how God created me to be? Yeah. And I mean, if you can discover that and just seek help on that, what am I great at? And why do I feel so defeated when I go to work every day? Yeah. Because let me tell you, if you don't always say the three most important decisions you'll ever make, one is giving your life to Christ, two is who you marry, three is what you do for a living. And who you marry and what you do for a living are interchangeable, because if your work life isn't good, your home life will not be as good.
Yeah.
If your home life isn't as good, your work life's going to feel that.
Yeah.
Right? And so a lot of people have drift, as you said earlier, mm-hmm. whether it be in their marriage or maybe it's in their job, they get bored. You know, their mind starts going crazy. They start watching things on the internet they shouldn't watch. And you just have to be aware of that and have, you know, guardrails on some of those things. And so I have a very small group of very close friends that I know are going to tell me the truth. They're going to call me out if I do something or say something that really isn't aligned with how God has gifted me. And I think it's important to have those people in your life. If everybody's telling you how great you are, then you probably need to change friends.
You need to get that one Trevor.
Any Trevor.
Get that one Trevor in your life. I love it. Eric?
I guess I'll start by just addressing, you know, maybe some folks that are younger in their career.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember so many times coming home and being like, is there more? Like, there's got to be more. I'm working so hard. You know, I'm working really, really hard. I'm not crazy rich from working really hard. So this feels like a grind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just say, having done a couple laps, not done, but I've done a couple laps, I can look back now and I can see the ways God orchestrated all of those things. I can see my first manager coming to church with me and now being like a super powerful person for the kingdom, right? I can see the people who, you know, the guy who had cancer that we prayed for every day, and what did that do? And how did that bring together a community? And so while it might feel like when you're in the middle of the battle, while you're in the middle of the race, that it doesn't matter, it matters. And you have the chance, no matter where you are, you have the chance to impact the people around you. Now, if you're thinking about being an entrepreneur is fantastic.
It's not for everybody.
Super hard. You know, it's a, you know, commitment of like, I'm going to ride the bike off the ramp no matter what happens. I do think we need more people in business that want to pair up businesses with ministry. And there's all kinds of ministry that needs to be funded. And so this idea that business is bad or profits are bad or capitalism is bad, there's just such tremendous opportunity. And, you know, if you do the math on just some basic ministries, you can get to the point pretty quick where you're like, wow, I could double that budget.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I could double the size of that organization. You know, you can almost do the math on like this organization. Here's how many people would come to the kingdom. And so I would just encourage people to have an entrepreneurial mindset. I'm seeing there's more and more that's happening within the community, especially here in the DFW area that I feel like is thinking a different way about using their skills. And man, I would love it if it became a massive trend.
Yeah, me too. So I would say if you're listening to this, I'm oftentimes pressing on this idea of how you're uniquely wired by God and uniquely placed by God. And I think most of the time we end up in the domains that we're in because of that unique wiring. So like a finance guy has a unique bent, and that bent is probably why he ended up in finance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so if we can see our lives through those lenses, then life becomes about faithful presence.
Right.
Like if you've been uniquely placed in the domain of finance, well then, man, that's your spot. Which is why when this woman was asking me about, should I post this? I might get fired. I'm like, why would you don't get fired over this?
Right.
Like this is the wrong thing to get fired over, right? The Lord's placed you there as salt and light. Like who gets access to these people with the gospel? You do.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to encourage you to be really shrewd about that in the best way, the way Jesus used the word shrewd, not go in with a, you know, like a megaphone and, you know, like just be there, love people. And that's what I mean by faithful presence. How can we be prayerfully curious? How can we have appropriate boldness, but understand that when that alarm goes off, and I'm getting up and I'm heading to this place, whether it's hostile or friendly or indifferent, that I am not here primarily to make money and create provision for my family or so that we can get this comfort, or like I am primarily here because God's uniquely wired me and uniquely placed me. And then that, the action steps from that understanding is what is kind of prayerful curiosity look like? So I'm praying for people, I'm moving towards people. And then what is appropriate boldness?
Yeah.
Appropriate boldness, which I know for some people will be like, no, there's just all in for Jesus. Yeah. Sometimes all in for Jesus means appropriately being bold and not inappropriate boldness. And so that's how I would encourage you if you're listening today. The kingdom of God has not grown from that little group in Jerusalem to 2.3 billion Christians worldwide through preachers. It's grown that way through the everyday faithfulness of men and women who are going to workplaces. They live in certain neighborhoods. They go and they hobby in certain places. And the gospel is spread globally this way. Now, as it spreads this way, preachers get involved. But real, the real secret sauce of the kingdom is you being faithfully present at this work thing that we're talking about, or you building that work thing like we're talking about here, and you being a great employee, and you bringing your love for Jesus with you to work. And I think that will eradicate some boredom from you, maybe, and I think it will help you see coworkers and even the bottom line in the business maybe a little bit different if we're putting those lenses on as we head to work. So,
can I make 2 points?
Yeah, come on.
I was just going to say, this is very basic, but I often find people don't do it. And that is just having a goal. What's your goal?
Yeah.
You know, what are your goals tomorrow? What are your goals for the year, 2 years, 5 years? And every time I commit goals to paper, it gives me energy.
Sure.
And it gets me fired up. And I've written goals for 25 years. The other thing I would say, as you were talking about, you know, people on a treadmill or driving home, I read a great book, The Dream Giver, Bruce Wilkinson.
Okay.
And I read it That's during a period school. Where I was struggling. I was in the wasteland, as he yeah. refers to it. And it reminded me of when, I think in the book, he even alludes to this, when Moses is leading his people through the promised land, the reason they were in the promised land for so long is they weren't, God was preparing them for what they were about to receive. Yeah. And he needed them to have the maturity to be able to handle that responsibility. And so in times where I've been in this wasteland space, God was maturing me and preparing me for his blessing coming yeah. forward. So.
For sure. I love that.
One more comment?
Come on. I mean, we're here for it.
It's too exciting.
It's long form. It's too you exciting, just keep going. Man. You're fine.
It's too exciting. I'll just say, like, just as an encouragement, like the more that you start to anticipate what God's going to do and you start looking for those moments, the more that you'll see him and you'll find him. So you might be looking around where you're at and you might be feeling like there's no impact, there's no fruit, there's nothing happening. But I just encourage you, the more that you set your heart, the more that you lean in and pray, and the more that you look for, you know, God, what is it that you have for me today? You'll start to have those.
Oh, moments. Absolutely.
I love that. That's
absolutely
wonderful.
You will. All right. Well, thank you for dialing in to this episode of The Overcomers. Hope you've been encouraged, and hope as you head to work tomorrow, you're going with a renewed purpose and sense of God at work in the mess. And so God bless you. Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to The Overcomers. I just pray your heart is always encouraged in the Lord. Really, the ministry I feel God's called me to in this season is to be one that's encouraging you, telling you the Lord sees you, reminding you of the opportunities that we have as the people of God in this day. And so The Overcomers podcast is one of the ways I do that. Another way is that I'm sending out a monthly newsletter. And in that, I've got a little audio link for kind of things I'm thinking about and wrestling through that I'm not necessarily preaching on. And so in the show notes is a link where you can go and sign up for that monthly email. And so, man, if The Overcomers is encouraging you, I would encourage you then to click on that link, sign up for the newsletter. And it's a way for me to further encourage you as you seek to live as overcomers in this current moment. Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to The Overcomers. I just pray your heart is always encouraged in the Lord. Really, the ministry I feel God's called me to in this season is to be one that's encouraging you, telling you the Lord sees you, reminding you of the opportunities that we have as the people of God in this day. And so The Overcomers podcast is one of the ways I do that. Another way is that I'm sending out a monthly newsletter. And in that, I've got a little audio link for kind of things I'm thinking about and wrestling through that I'm not necessarily preaching on. And so in the show notes is a link where you can go and sign up for that monthly email. And so, man, if the Overcomers is encouraging you, I would encourage you then to click on that link, sign up for the newsletter. And it's a way for me to further encourage you as you seek to live as overcomers in this current moment.